Thank you very much. I think I'm coming back to Mac probably after 20 years. Yeah, I think it would be 20 years, yes. I've not been around Wales for a lot of time, and the primary reason has been the expansion of work. You know, as soon as the only person I recognized was Chris, you know, and Chris entered through that, I said, I know her, you know, and I walked up to her and I said, are you Mary or are you Chris, you know? They're always together, so I remember. Maybe some others might remember my coming here. You know, our hosts were saying, Brian was saying, yes, he remembers when I was here last. But I bring greetings from Delhi Bible Institute and from the church. And what Delhi Bible Institute was 20 years ago is completely different to what it is today. How many of you really receive news from us, our monthly news? My goodness, this is the first audience I've stood where nobody receives the news. One person, okay. Wow, okay. Lest I forget, okay. So I would say right at the beginning, we have got our latest brochure there on the table. And
let me get there. And there are some bracelets. And there's a little stone elephant, which we want you to take with you to remember to pray for India. And the Lord is doing great and mighty things. Let me just pray, and then we'll start. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a great joy it is to meet with your people this evening. And wherever we go and wherever we are, thank you that your church and your people are there. So we feel at home and we feel your presence and we understand that we are at home and in your family. So this evening as we share about India, Lord, we pray that you would once again open our hearts and minds to pray for this land and to be engaged in what you are doing in this land. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know Robert and Ilza were part of this church when they were living here in Cardiff. Today both of them are rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. The legacy and the work that they leave behind, like your kurta, okay, and like its color, okay, the legacy which they have left behind, we just give thanks to the Lord. And if I have to recap the fruit of the work, 1965, when we started training and training disciples and started our discipleship training programs, to 1984, we equipped 500 pioneers. And these pioneers went into corners of North India and did some amazing work. And most of these pioneers are gone now. Okay. Then came the next phase, 1985 to 2004. The next 20 years. You know, Robert was very entrepreneurial in his mindset. And some of the things that we learned from him was, of course, he was coming from a business family, but some of the things was this, that every 20 years, he almost redefined the ministry and his direction. So, we strongly feel that a church's life and a ministry life is 20 years, and unless we redefine where we are going, we almost start promoting, we did it like this 20 years ago, or we did it like this 40 years ago. And again, you come to churches and you say, what happened? This was a lively place. What happened? Yeah, we keep, rather than keeping the message, we keep the tradition. And Robert was very, very radical about it, and he would redefine. So 1985, we redefined what we are going to do. And I'll tell you a story after we redefine. Because till 1985, we were running like a Bible school with 1 to 4 year training programs. And then we had a research done of all that was happening in North India. And we came to know that there were many other organizations now who are doing exactly what we were doing. So we redefined ourselves and we say, we are going to go to the villages of North India.
and find the believers over there and equip them and send them back. Very interesting. When the father of the nation was frequently arrested for his different agitations against the British, sorry if I make you uncomfortable, okay? but yes, we have to have, you cannot avoid going into history. And he was arrested again and again, and once he was arrested and he was put before a judge, a British judge, a white judge, and he basically said to the judge, "You will never be able to squelch the spirit of India." And he went on and said, "The spirit of India lives in the 650,000 villages of India." Do you know, when I read that statement in his book, My Experiment with Truth, you know, that was the biography of Gandhi, you know, My Experiment with Truth, you know, and he, when I read that statement, that the spirit of India lives in the 650,000 villages of India, do you know, our vision was very clear. We need to go to these villages and save the soul of India. Okay? Because this is what the father of the nation said. The spirit of India lives in these villages of India. Then we need to go there. So we deliberately went into the countrysides of India. And we found those people who were saved. They were saved primarily through the ministry of OM and another organization called India Every Home Crusade. And between OM and India Every Home Crusade, which is probably in the West known as Every Home for Christ or Every Home Crusade, they were claiming in the mid-80s that every home in India was reached with a piece of literature at least three times. One of the figures they were not giving was that the literacy rate was only 60%. But that doesn't matter. Okay. If every home in India has been reached over three times with a piece of Christian literature, what was the result of that was all across the country, there were beginning to be believers here, believers there, believers there. One after 100 kilometers and another after 500 kilometers, all spread. They were not churches, but they were believers now found in all these places. And how they were sustaining themselves was through FEBC, Far East Broadcasting Corporation radio programs. And we were on the radio every day, sometimes three times a day on the radio. And we were getting to know these believers all over the place. And the way that the church had to be matured was, and this was the research Robert and Alex Smith, you know, Robert came with three men and was... You were telling me about Willie Walker just now. So these three Irishmen that came together, Willie Walker, Robert Duff, Alex Smith, you know, all three of them are in glory now. Alex Smith did a research for us, and he said, that is the area where we need to go. So we decided that we are going to start 6 weeks training programs for these men. Because they were not qualified. These people were either... fifth class, or they were not high school. They have had some literacy, but they had didn't have much literacy. And we had just made the change. And do you know how scandalous it is if you stop 1 to 4 year training programs and you have done well and you stop them and you start the 6 week training program? And we had a lot of people made fun of us. They said, you know, oh, you are now preparing servants in just 6 weeks. You are preparing pastors in 6 weeks. But that was not the fact. We were not preparing pastors. We were just equipping believers better with God's word so that they go back and are able to share the word much better. And then we would bring them back again and send them back. And we were doing this program of just short-term training programs of bringing them in and sending them back again and equipping them and sending them back again without any, you know, we are still don't do any certification for our programs. But that was the key. And we had just made the change. I was going up to my office when at the reception somebody stopped me and said, there is here somebody who wants admission in our programs. And you know, we have just taken away, our qualifications were so high that Jesus and his disciples could not be admitted. Okay. Because we were all for, you know, this qualification and then you get this, this kind of... training in this. So I said, the person should meet the registrar. He says he has met the registrar. So I said, so what's the problem? He says he's illiterate. You know, now we were going in an area where we had never ventured, you know. So we have stopped the graduate programs. Now we are saying we are going to open our doors for everyone. And here is a program. Here is a person who turns up and he's illiterate. What do you do with him? So I said, I said to the receptionist, how can I help if the person is illiterate? How can we help him? Do you realize that the Western way of doing missions was this? I'm sorry, I'm here and I'm rubbing your nose in this, you know. You needed some qualifications to study. Don't you realize that we have practiced a kind of Christianity that is only for the educated? And imagine if you're not educated, where do you go? And that was a very big hit in our faces, because we have just taken off graduate programs and now somebody comes who's illiterate. And when I had shrugged my shoulders and said, how can I help? I didn't realize the man had got up and came and stood next to me. And do you know, we come from a face-saving culture. Okay? And this man heard me that I cannot help him. Okay? And he was looking at my face. He was a short guy, looking up to me, and I looked at him, and I, you know, the hypocritical pastoral part of me jumped out, you know, and I immediately put my arm around the brother, and I said, "Brother, let's go up and pray." You know what was my agenda? My agenda was to pray and get rid of him somehow. Okay. So I got him up to my office, you know, and I sat across him on my office chair that could swing and go back and forth, you know, and I'm swinging back and down, up and down, because I want him out. He is a hindrance. I have my agenda for the day. You know, this guy somehow turned up from somewhere, uneducated, wants training. What can we train him in? It's 1985. Now there are many programs for oral learners. There were no programs for oral learners at that time. So I said, let's pray, brother. Okay. I quickly heard his testimony in 3 minutes, and I started praying for him, and I prayed, and I made a quick prayer, you know, which did not really come from my heart. And you're saying, you know, this fellow has come here to confess his sins. Yeah. You know, there is, you know, I'm at that point in ministry. I've been 35 years already in ministry. You know, there is nothing to hide. You know, there is just honesty of who we are and the mistakes that we have made in missions, to acknowledge those mistakes that we have made. You know, so I finished praying, and I said, amen, and I stood up, you know, because that's a polite way. You know, if the other fellow is not standing up, you stand up and you send him off. This fellow didn't stand up. He didn't get the hint that he needs to be out. And he said to me, very calmly, can I pray? Okay, yes, you can. I sat down, and I said, yes, you can pray. The guy gets up from his chair, kneels on the ground, puts his face on the ground, and weeps like a mother would weep for a child. And he prayed for his people. And he prayed for the salvation of his family. He prayed for the salvation of his village. He prayed with such a passion. He prayed with such a connection with God. He prayed with such a heartbreak, which I didn't have as a city-educated, city-slicker. And do you know, when he got up, there was water on the ground, tears from his eyes. And I all of a sudden had a jolt. And I realized that I was dealing with the, you know, aha moment. And I said, wow, who is he? I said to him, he has got something which I don't have. And I said to him, do you know you are admitted? I just said to him straight away. I said, you are admitted in the 8-week program that is beginning from Monday. You are part of it. And I called up the registrar and I said to him, this man is admitted. He said, which man? That man who has no education, cannot read or write? I said, yes. He says, why are we making an intellectual suicide? First, we took off all the pre-qualification for the programs. Now we have opened the door for illiterate people. Where are we headed? Do we know where we are headed? I said, I don't know where we are headed. But this man is in. And this man came in. He came in into the program. 6 weeks, I met with him every day and prayed with him. After 6 weeks, this man was gone. And when he was leaving, I pleaded with him. I said, brother, learn to read or write because that will open up avenues for learning for you and growth for you. After 2 years, I hear from this man. He wrote a postcard with a terrible scrawl. Postcard days, there is no postcard these days, it's all SMS and text and emails, He wrote, and on that terrible scrawl, it was written, since being with you, it was in Hindi, he wrote, I have planted 20 churches. I said, absolutely lies and exaggeration. Absolute lies and exaggeration. How can he plant 20 churches in 2 years? I have got the 3-inch binder on how to plant churches. I have the videos and the DVDs and the training. And I have not planted my first church. And this man is saying he has planted 20 churches. I said, absolutely rubbish. So I wrote back to him. I said, do you know, we gave you a chance to be part of this program and you didn't know to read or write or anything. We took a risk with you. We didn't train you to be a better liar. We trained you to be a better discipler. You know why? Because my unbelief and my disbelief that this God can do it was very evident. He wrote back again because I had written a harsh postcard to him. He wrote back again and he wrote 3 words on it only. And those 3 words were, come and see. And his name. I said, I'll take the liar to his house. I went and saw. I saw the smallest church was about 20, and the large one was about 60 or 70 people. In his people, among his people, in the villages around. And the thing that staggered me was, in the past 2 years, this man had baptized over 1,000 people. I all of a sudden realized that we are on something over here that we don't even know the potential of. Do you know, I fell on my face on the ground and I said, how is it, Lord, that you are using this man, this simple, ordinary man, and you are not using me? That was the turnaround. And if I have to tell you one story from the turnaround, that is the story. Then what happened? In the next 20 years, we equipped 4,078 people. And then when we again researched it, where are these 4,078 people? It was easy to research 4,078 people. Then when we researched it, we found that over 2,000 churches were planted in North India, all over North India, as a result of the training of these men. Simple trainings that we were giving and sending them back to their villages. And we said, this is the path God wants to take. And then during this period, we saw martyrdom, we faced suffering. I was attacked over 9 times during this time. We were relocated to London in 2001, 2002, also as a safety measure for our lives. And during this time, what were we doing? We were rewriting the vision for Delhi Bible Institute. And the Lord took us back in 2002, back to India after being in London for 2 years with a new vision for Delhi Bible Institute for the next 20 years. And this time the vision was, it's called Vision 2025. And the 6 components of the vision are here of Vision 2025. Vision 2025 goal was to equip 30,000 people now. 30,000. You saw from 500 to 4,078 and now to 30,000. for the goal of planting 15,000 churches all over North India. Now, you know, these figures are staggering to you because, you know, as was rightly pointed out, thank you, that I come from a city, you know, when you live on a very small island, you know, and half of the population of this island is the population of Delhi. The national capital region of Delhi, that means the capital city, which has grown so big that cannot grow any further, and then all the other cities around it, the population is 22 million. 22 million people live in the national capital region. And North India, which is our primary focus is North India, there are 650 million people that live in North India. So these figures that I'm talking to you, they are in context of those big millions that live in India. It is a God-sized country. And you need to have a God-sized vision for a God-sized country. You cannot say, and you know, we were here when God gave us this vision. And this vision was, and let me, since I'm pushing you, let me push you properly, okay? Push also means pray until something happens, you know that? The acronym, okay? And since I'm pushing you, let me push you properly. During the first nine months of us being here, Gloria and I and three other people, five of us made a chain of fasting and prayer. We were fasting food at that time, okay? We had 9 months of fasting and prayer in tandem, in chain, the five of us. Praying for North India and asking the Lord to give us a vision and show us a vision for North India, what He wants us in the next 20 years. And Vision 2025 came as a direct result of that time of prayer that we had, 9 months. And do you know what happens after 9 months? A baby is born, okay? And after 9 months, we had this vision called Vision 2025, where we said, we are going to train 30,000 people for the equipping or for the planting of 15,000 churches. How many pastors right up and down this country, and I won't name them, even a couple from this city, sat down with me and said, why do you want to have these figures? Why don't you drop these figures? These figures are absurd. And you have had a consistent ministry life for 25 years, why do you want to do it now by playing with these figures? I said, I'm not playing with the figures. I'm not playing with the figures at all. This is not a que sera sera ministry or vision. You know what que sera sera is? Whatever will be, will be. Whatever the Lord give, we are going to take. Do you know, that was my big problem with the assembly's gospel meeting in the evening. Because whenever I used to go to a gospel hall, and I'm, again, you know, not being critical, but I'm constructively critical, okay? I would ask them, how many non-Christians have you invited this evening? How many have you invited this evening? They used to be just blank. And I said, you mean to say I have to stand up again and tell the same group of believers once again the gospel message which they know? Why should people hear it twice when others have not heard it once? And I come from a country where everyone has yet to hear about the gospel. Why should we once again tell the gospel again to people? Que sera sera, whatever will be, will be. We said, no, we are going to add the numbers whom we want to reach so that next time when I'm here, You can clobber me, you can catch me, okay, and say to me, what happened to your big boast, Isaac? Last time you were saying 30,000 people, how many have you trained? Give us the figures. You know, by giving the figures, you make yourself accountable. So next time you can hold me. Next time I can come and say, oh, the Lord is doing great things in Delhi Bible Institute. The ministry continues to grow and the Lord is blessing us. Do you know, all my life I have heard those stories around our dining table. And even as a teenager, I used to say, oh my goodness, even you know, if I was their employer, you know, I will not give them any increment. Because there is nothing specific. Only we will know in heaven how many have been saved through a ministry. That's very well said. But you know, we need to see what is happening on the ground. So we put the figures. But the grand thing about these figures is this. That 8 years into the ministry, and we launched Vision 2025 on 1st January 2005, And I'm saying this all for the glory of God, because you have to look at me because I'm speaking here, but it is all him and the team that is there. I'm only representing the team that is there. It is a team's work, what God has done. But I want to bring it to a principle, you know, very quickly. So I want to finish this story, and I want to take you behind the scene and say, you know, why? I want to ask you, and I want you to be hearing this and saying this, why this happened? And that is where I want to take. Because there is the same God that is working in North India in the face of severe opposition. The same God is here in Cardiff, who is in New Delhi, and who is working in North India. This is the same God. And it is his church, and it is his people there, and it is his people, and his church, and his bride here. All right. 8 years into Vision 2025, we call it Vision 2025. And the goal was to equip 30,000 people for the planting of 15,000 churches. And the goal also was that we will be in all the 12 North Indian state capitals and have training centers, as we have had 50 years in Delhi. From Delhi, we have tried to reach North India. Now from the state capitals, we are going to reach North India. And if I talk to you about the states, just one state in North India is called Uttar Pradesh, UP. The population of Uttar Pradesh is 217 million people. And if I had asked you a trick question right at the beginning and to ask you, do you know the fifth largest country in the world on its own? Uttar Pradesh as a state is the fifth largest country in the world on its own. The four countries that will go before that obviously would be China, India, USA, Brazil, and Uttar Pradesh. And the Christian population of Uttar Pradesh is 0.01%. Not even 1%. The Christian population of 2%, correctly as was told in the beginning, 2.3%. Every 10 Christians that live in India, 1 lives in North India, 9 live outside of North India. And that's why the tagline of Delhi Bible Institute and Vision 2025 is, "Till North India hears the gospel." We are going to go on till North India hears the gospel. Within 8 years, we cross the 30,000 mark, which was for 20 years. We had to revise the vision to 60,000. Do you know why? The Lord has said, "Ask of me, and I will give you the dream job," right? The dream retirement, right? Your dream car. Your dream health, right? But isn't that what we ask? We are all the time asking for those things. My life partner. The education of my children. You know, my future. He says, "Ask of me." And you know, I'm not discounting that God does not answer those prayers. He does answer those prayers. But he has said, "Ask of me and I will give you much more and beyond that." He says, "I will give you the," say it with conviction, "nations. I will give you the nations and the ends of the earth as your inheritance." He says, that can be your heritage. And we said, we are going to ask for North India and the nations of North India, the unreached people groups of North India. Ask of me. We are asking 30,000. Which everybody thought that it was too much. And what was the Lord saying? "You only are asking for 30,000? Only 30,000? I can give you much more." So we made it 60,000. We revised the new target to 60,000. Within 13 years of launching that vision, and you must take this brochure with you, this is the figure. And we deliberately published these figures. And we have got each name, each village, each area where these people are working. Now it is 53,823 in 13 years. So we had to revise it again. And the new goal is 100,000. If I had come to you in 2005 and I told you we are going to equip 100,000 people, you would say that this man is lying through his teeth. I actually spoke in a church in Northern Ireland, a former Brethren Assembly. And when I spoke there, after the service, nobody spoke to me. And the elders, through one of their spokespersons, said to me that we are tired of these kinds of exaggeration and these kinds of talks that come out of India. Okay? What can I do if God gives me a vision like that for that kind of size of a country? Shall I shut up and not speak? 10 years later, they invited us back, apologized, and they said, we are just amazed at what God is doing, and that assembly became a supporting church now with us. Our goal is 100,000 for the planting of 30,000 churches now all over North India. Why? How? How is this happening? What is behind it? Okay. In the next 10 minutes, because the time is only up to 7:15, you know, I know after coming 20 years, it should have been some incremental time of that. So in 20 years, I was not here. But that's all right now. Indian stretchable time. But I know I cannot stretch it, you know, here. As somebody has very well said, in the West, they have got all the watches, but no time. And we do not have so many watches, but we have all the time. Okay, that's all right. Okay. Why? How? This has happened. We are a team of very ordinary people. It's not that now we had the smartest kids on the block as part of our team. I've been there 35 years, part of this team. I've seen all the ups and downs. And I'm just amazed what the Lord has done in the last 13 years. The last 13 years, the whole thing, God took it out of our hands and it went into his hands. And it went in from when it went from out of our hands, it went through the ceiling. And if I tell you the key, and the key is the same, if my people, and you know where I'm taking you, you're already saying it in your mind, if my people who are called according to my name, what will they do? Shall humble themselves first. What does humble themselves mean in the Old Testament? Tell me. It was sackcloth and ashes. It was fasting. Okay? Will humble themselves and seek my ways and ask of me. I will hear and relent and heal their land. Same Bible, same passage, same for you, same for us. But what we did was, we took this verse and held it tight in our hands and held everything lightly, everything else lightly. If this is what the key is, then let's take this key and open heaven's doors with it. Family of God, that is the key. That is the secret. 13 years ago, we had our first 40 days of fasting and prayer. Okay, yes, 40 days of fasting and prayer. And things started happening. And we couldn't believe. And we said, why didn't we start it before? Next year, we had 2 40 days of fasting and prayer. Then we had 3 40 days of fasting and prayer. Then we have 4 40 days of fasting and prayer. The 1 hour prayer meeting was not enough. If you have got a God-sized country and a God-sized challenge, do you think in 1 hour prayer is enough? Do you know, if you have to break down this wall, and I say to 5 able-bodied men over here, we have to break down this wall, and I give you all 5 small ornamental hammers with your name engrafted on it, with some diamonds stuck on it. And I say, can you bring this wall down with these 5 little ornamental hammers? Would you be able to do it? Correct. Absolutely correct. We have a mountain-sized problem where we need the JCB of prayers. Where will the JCB of prayers come from? If my church, individuals, when they pray, there is great power. But when the church prays together corporately, there is power to move mountains. Do you know the first thing we realized was that we were inadequate in our prayer lives? So that 1 hour prayer time, we were trying to make miracles out of that 1 hour prayer time. If you have 1 hour prayer time, family of God, let me tell you, you have 1 hour of power. What will happen in 23 hours of the day? Is that 1 hour of power enough? So we now say in our churches, little prayer, say it. You know that what I'm going to say? Little power. Much prayer, much power. Next. No prayer, no power. Make your choice. Make your choice. We want God to send revival in the absence of prayer and fasting. How can that happen? Tell me. We found ourselves inadequate. The challenges before us were so huge that our 1 hour of prayer time turned into all night of prayer. From 9 to 5 we meet now for prayer. And do you know this year from 1st January we are now praying 365 days of fasting and prayer. In fact, as I stand before you now, there are 35 people fasting and praying today. And we have seen great answers to prayers. I could stand here and enumerate for you the rest of the evening the great and mighty things God has done. This 53,000 figure is not because we have got a huge team. We have a very small team in the 7 centers that we already have. And we are opening the 8th center. We still have to open 6 other centers. Thank you very much for your prayers for us. We heard the gospel, which was brought to us first from the West. And we owe a debt. That's why we come back and tell the church over here what the Lord is doing there. I'm very grateful for your prayers and for your fellowship. But we want you to pray more so that we are able to be in the 6 other centers to train and church plant in the 6 other states that we want to be. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. It's a miracle an Indian can stop 2 minutes before the time he was allocated. But thank you so much for your attention and for your time. I can tell you, I can speak the whole evening and tell you many things. There is a pad over there. If you want to receive our news, do leave your email and your name. If you do not have an email or name, you know, send an address, but we do not write monthly. We don't do paper mailing anymore, and we do it only infrequently to save all the money because everything else on the web is, you know, it does not cost anything. But we need your prayers, and you do take an elephant and pray for us, or a bracelet and pray for us. God is doing great and mighty things as an answer to your prayers and our prayers. And we want you to come, and some of you can come and see what the Lord is doing now and go and verify yourself of the things that I have said. I have not even told you all the 6 dimensions and all the 6 dimension and areas of all the things that the Lord is doing. But I can say that the Lord is doing great and mighty things. And our monthly newsletters tell you all. Our family picture is also there. Do pick up the family picture and pray for the family as well. Thank you so much.